Firstly, Ryan, thank you so very much for time in doing this podcast. Really, really appreciate you talking to me. Now, in the world of obstacle course racing in the MENA region, you probably, Ryan, are the most important and influential person in the space so far as Middle East is concerned. And now, you're also going to be the most influential person, most important person in the world of hybrid fitness as well. So personally, I definitely want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. What you have done, Ryan, is the obstacle course race is implementing into our personal lives as well. So, you know, even when there is an off season, we tend to look at when the next obstacle course race is. So thank you so very much, Ryan, for doing that. Really, really appreciate it. Now, before we get started, just wanted to check, you know, how has your day been so far?
Hey, it's been fantastic. I say good morning to you and to everybody who's listening to this. And I just want to go back to your original comment on being at the forefront of this. And I think it's just, I can't take all the credit. Obviously, I've had two previous partners that helped get us to this journey. So God bless them. And of course, the team itself, I mean, we can't do everything alone. So all the team that has been there and is there until today, I think these are the real heroes of bringing obstacle course racing or high rocks or whatever we decide to tackle in the future. So I thank them as well. I'm a morning person, so my mornings are always great. I try to take a couple of hours in the morning just to kind of focus on what's next, what are my tasks, etc., and then I kind of try to tackle the day from there.
That's absolutely great. Now, Ryan, everyone who has done Spartan obstacle course race in the Middle East have definitely seen you, but I'm really not sure if they're aware of your work history, your fitness history, and your work ethic as well. So for our listeners from the UAE, and now we have listeners from Europe, from US, and even Australia, can you give us a brief history about yourself? Because I'm pretty much sure a lot of the Spartan enthusiasts are particularly quite keen to find out more about you.
I think my background is sports. You know, I've always been into sports, right? I kind of hurt my back in about 2007.
Okay.
And I stayed in hospital for maybe a week plus, right? As I was in the hospital, I was like, you know, I can't be this. I can't do this. I have to get up and be something better. So I planned while I was in the hospital bed that I was going to get up and hike, right, Mount Kilimanjaro. So I got up off my bed and I did 6 months of rehab, and I eventually climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with several awesome other people. Then I was like, hey, you know what? This sounds good. What else can I do, right? And then I started getting into triathlons, and I did triathlons for like 2 or 3 years. Then I was like, hey, what could possibly be next for this? And I got into ultra marathons, and I did ultra marathons for a while. And then I was like, so I think this is what I would like to do for the rest of my life around sports and fitness. How can I continue this? And then I fell upon Spartan. I think a wonderful friend of mine, she was like, hey, have you heard of the Spartan thing? And this was 2010 or 11, something like that. I was like, no, what's this? And, you know, obstacle course racing is not new. You know, the Japanese used to do something similar to Takahashi's Castle in the 80s, right? So it's not, but obviously Joe took over the idea, the concept, and pioneered it, right? So I connected with Joe in about 2012. And for people who don't know Joe DeSena is the founder of Spartan Race, right? I was like, you know what? I think we would like to do this in the Middle East. And this was super early on. So he was just still running around just in the States. Like, and we chased him and we chased him. And he kind of relented. He's like, okay, here's the license. So we own the license for the Middle East and North Africa. And I came to Dubai. I mean, we thought we were in Kuwait all this time.
Okay.
I used to have with also one of my partners that also moved with me here. We used to have a waste management company in Kuwait. We're big on being friendly to the earth, as everybody should be, right? We're like, you know what? I think we used to like kind of collect garbage from the municipalities and et cetera. That's what we used to do. And we're like, you know, we're kind of done with collecting garbage and incinerating it and whatnot. I think we want to move on to sports. And we're like, where's the best place we can launch Spartan from, right? And that answer was Dubai in 2012. So I moved in 2012 here for about a year. Did market studies, got a better understanding of sponsors, et cetera. And our first race, our first epic race was February 20th, 2015 on an epic sandstorm. That day we had an epic sandstorm.
Was that in Jebel Ali by any chance?
Yes, that was Jebel Ali. Race course. And as I was kind of this year running around trying to figure out where should we have our first Spartan, there's vast sums of land, right? Yeah. You can go out anywhere you want, just go 20 kilometers left, right, or south, and you would get to like the desert. And obviously a lot of people have raced Maliha, which is really the desert. And of course, Abu Dhabi obviously came later, but it's punishing, right? I think from all of our races, Maliha was the least attended, and after our surveys, because it was just punishing.
Yeah.
If you kidnap somebody and they wake up in Maliha, they think for just about 3 seconds they're on Mars, right? But I wanted something inside, or we wanted something inside Dubai where a lot of people would come. And I saw Jebel Ali race course. I was like, hey, I looked on Google Maps. I was like, this is smack in the middle of everything. The metro connects you. How can we have it here? And then X Dubai reached out to us, or are connected with X Dubai somehow. And they loved the idea, they loved the Spartan race. His Highness came out and raced our first race with His Highness Sheikh Mohammed as well. So Sheikh Fazza' and His Highness Sheikh Mohammed. And it was like, we used to be the Reebok Spartan race, right?
Yeah.
For many years. And after the race, he walked up to us and he kind of pointed my t-shirt. He's like, you see this Reebok? He's like, how can we switch this to X-Dubai?
X-Dubai, oh, okay.
I was like, that's it? Hey, done deal, right?
So yeah.
We figured it out legally and whatnot. And then we became the X-Dubai Spartan race with His Highness kind of supporting us for 3 years. So that were our humble beginnings. Our first race was Jebel Ali race course. Never to be forgotten. When I have bad days, I tell you, I go out and camp out at Jebel Ali race course to kind of...
And I very specifically remember some of the guys who did that Jebel Ali race course. And some of them, for the 5K, they took almost 2 hours and they sweat that they will never do the Spartan race anymore. But they have turned out to be brand ambassadors for Spartan race. And so far as I understand, they haven't missed a single Spartan race since then. So, you know, thank you so very much. And to be Orion, what I'm really liking is the fact that, you know, you got the motivation to do something when you were actually in the hospital. And to be honest, that is a great learning. So what I'm understanding is whenever there is a problem, rather than finding a solution, you're looking at an opportunity. That is something, you know, which I'm pretty much sure I'm definitely going to take it on board as well. Now, I was going through your LinkedIn profile and something which you did mention earlier on as well, that you do like to talk a lot about your employees. And what stood out for me is that, you know, I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. On your LinkedIn, you specifically mentioned that employees, customers, and then profits. And you really stressed the importance of recognizing that your second family is your colleagues at work. I personally loved reading it. So my question is, where does that motivation come from in order to keep your colleagues first? And I think that is a brilliant motivation as well.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody that helped us along the way. And I'm not sure it can be done without the super team that sits behind all the magic, right? People come out to Spartan race. I appreciate they're not perfect all the time. We drop the ball in some places due to surprises. However, I think if it wasn't for everybody back end, I don't think it's just possible, right? So, and I try to move away from the family concept and I try to create the super team concept. So I look at the team that does all the magic like the Chicago Bulls in their heyday, right? 95, 96.
Yep.
Chicago Bulls as a super team. So every individual must go and become a superstar on their own and come back to the superstar team. And all together, because they motivate each other, because they're all superstar, they all rise to the occasion that they want to achieve. And whether that's Spartan, whether that's Higher Rock, whether it's in, and it starts in their daily life, of course, they bring that. It's like an elevator that just everybody kind of goes up to. So the focus must be there at the beginning, right?
That is absolutely beautifully said, and I'm pretty much sure, you know, I'm going to incorporate some of those things into my work life as well. Now, one question what I wanted to ask, you know, Ryan, regarding the first event that took place in Jebel Ali, do you know of anyone who is still doing the obstacle course race that you recognize from face from the first Jebel Ali? I know quite a few of them.
Definitely, definitely.
Participants, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, listen, when we first did our first race, Jebel Ali, again, February 20th, a lifetime ago, 2015, it's hilarious because when I look back at it now, we're absolutely close to what's going on, right? And how much we help we needed and where it needed to help and what we had and what equipment we use versus what, and blah, 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 right? I used to do something very different than I do now. Now, my job mainly is on race day, that is to meet everybody at registration and say good morning and hello and thank them as they come through to registration. Because if you're happy there, then you're happy throughout the entire race. And as they're going out, say thank you and goodbye, right?
You always give a high five as well.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, again, recognition and thank you is very important. You just put all this effort and whatnot. The least that we could do is say thank you, right? So I think that's very important for us to recognize people coming in and people leaving. So that's how my job has changed kind of over the years.
And I've noticed you, Ryan, you know, you are the front line. You're sometimes helping people get into the venue as well. You're everywhere across. And I think a lot of people don't recognize how important you are. And somehow I keep telling the guy, you know, he's the main reason why we have Spartan Race in Arabia. And people are shocked, and often I have to go ahead and explain to them that he's one of the main guys. So, you know, thank you once again for doing all these things. Now, what I wanted to ask next is, Ryan, from the first event that you did to the event which is coming up in Hatta, what are the changes that you have observed, both in terms of, you know, the quality of participants getting in, the level of competition, and the general government support and everything? What are the major differences that you've observed?
Well, I mean, just to kind of go back to your other question, who are the racers that have been from Jebel Ali?
Oh, yeah.
Right, 20. They are the same racers, right? Some have moved on after COVID, unfortunately, and moved back to their home country, but they still do a Spartan race or a Tahmud or a High Rocks, right? And what has changed mainly, I mean, we've gotten more sophisticated around the experience, the customer journey, a little bit different obstacles. I mean, I appreciate that some of our obstacles have been the same, but I think it's the journey towards what you want ultimately. And we try to put on these races in different locations. I'll give you an example, like in Hatta, like when we did our 2017 race, Hatta has always been there forever, right? But I don't say nobody has heard of it, but nobody's taken the opportunity to go see it. Maliha, yeah. The same way, right? So it's like when you live in your own country and your friend comes from wherever they're coming, like, hey, we want to go to Burj Khalifa. And you're like, oh, no.
Very true.
Right? Or let's go see the fountain. But the truth, you've never really given it the attention that you should have. And when you go out with this friend, you appreciate that's there. Yeah. So same thing with Hatta or all these places that we go out to. We take people to places that they've thought of, knew of, existed, but never took the opportunity to. So we take you to that location and make you appreciate that there's that beauty in the UAE. So we've done that across the years. We've seen the same awesome faces, and we've tried to enhance the customer journey. I think that's been the focus across the years.
100% agree. And I recently met one of my clients who was from Abu Dhabi, and he asked me, have you visited Abu Dhabi? And I looked at my daughter and I said, yeah, I visited there 6-7 times. And then I remembered the only times I visited Abu Dhabi is whenever there is a Spartan race. Beyond that, I haven't visited. I was like, yeah, I visited the Golf Club. I visited Al Hudaydah Island. And I was like, yeah, these are the only places where I now visited. So, you know, what you're saying is absolutely spot on, correct? You know, 100% agree to that.
And just to continue on that, and especially like places like Salalah, right? We just had our Salalah in September, and it's a beautiful place, right? I mean, Salalah alone is beautiful, but throwing people in Ain Kor in the middle of of like waterfalls and beautiful greenery and like camels all around. That's what we want to take. We want to take people and have them visit other destinations. Call it Riyadh, call it Jeddah, call it Salalah, call it Muscat, Kuwait, Bahrain, etc. And I think for the people there and for people, because we have a big traveling community, right?
Yes.
They come from Kuwait to Salalah, they come from Kuwait to Riyadh, UAE comes from Dubai or Abu Dhabi to Bahrain, etc. So we want to take these people and rip them off the couch and send them to all these locations to have fun ultimately.
Absolutely. And just on a side note, a few weeks ago, I was recording a podcast regarding Salalah, which has more to do with Bitcoin mining. I'm not sure if you know about cryptocurrency. And all of a sudden, I said, this is the place where you often have a Spartan race as well. And people are like, what are you talking about, Spartan race, obstacle course race? They had absolutely no idea. So then off the podcast, I had to go ahead and explain to them that, this is what it is. So, thank you so very much for that. Now, regarding the event, which is taking place in Hatta, what are
Yes.
the changes you've observed, let's say in terms of registrations or in terms of participants? Has the interest increased or has it died down because of COVID-19? The general observation.
Well, and before COVID, it was a different world, right? After COVID, we had a new breath of air kind of in our lungs, right? Because people were kind of scared to go out, and that I appreciate that. And then after that, they recognized that it's okay. So we had another surge of people coming out to races. Obviously, a lot of that had to do, and from the like Dubai Sports Council, obviously from the when pushing and pushing, they still support us until now. People wanting to be outside, the beautiful weather. Hatta, when we first did our 2017 race, there was nothing there. I don't know if you were there at the 2017
Yeah,
race.
I was there for the 2017 Wadi. There was absolutely no hub at Wadi Hub or anything. Is that
Nothing. I was there 3 days ago, and I'm like, I just kind of take a step back. I'm like,
it?
man, this is different, right?
Completely changed, yeah.
And we took people around the mountain, right, for the beast. We dumped them in the Hatta Dam in the lake. And then they came back around. Now, granted, we didn't get one lesson learned from Hatta was never rely on Google to give you the right distance. So instead of 21, I think we ended up at like 26. Some people
27,
swear,
yes,
yeah, some
29,
people swear
27.
it was 30, but I'll take the median there, 26. So we wanted to give that people that experience that goes out to Hatta, and they look at all these mountains. Oh, if we can do this, oh, the Hatta 5, if we can do that, and we gave them the opportunity to. I appreciate you can't do it with the 5K or the 10K, the sprinter or super. You have to kind of work yourself up to 21K to go throughout that adventure. So the second time we did it in 2018, we recognized we can't use Google. So Bedr, my previous partner and race director, and Martin, one of the licensees in Eastern Europe, came out and said, "We're going to go run this path just to make sure it's the right path." And they left at, I think, 7 a.m. And 7 p.m. comes along, and they're still not around. And we're all there, and we're like, "Oh my God, what's happening? Where are these guys?" We try to call them, nothing. Well, they end up like 11 hours after they got lost, they end up on the other side of Hatta, and they had really gotten lost because they'd go up one path and it'd be a dead end come because we had funny we had the KMZ off of Google Earth, their path, right? So it looks like this and it comes back, looks like a big flower like this comes back, and then at one time they got desperate and they wanted to climb to see where they are, and Bedr fell, smashed his phone. We still have his phone, right? Until we kind of drew the right experience for racers and safety, etc. So 2018 was just a bit different, but this time around, people will also still be, give or take, running around the mountain, hopefully through the dam, so they can experience Hatta fully. And this is our biggest race, right? We have a sprint, super, beast, and kids race from an obstacle course racing. We have a trail 10K, trail 21K. And we have a hurricane heat.
Oh, excellent. So what I'll do is, the show notes below, I'll definitely go ahead and mention all the different races. Now, am I right in saying, going back in 2018, the 10K was 16 kilometers, right? It wasn't 10K back then.
No, it was 13.
13 kilometers.
The
Yeah, sorry,
super.
13 kilometers. Yeah.
Correct. And now that We've been added as a part of the Olympic Games, which also gave us a surge. We had to, some time back, we had to drop our distances to Olympic distances, 5, 10, 21, et cetera, half marathon. And that's why we dropped the 3K to people's, to some people's, you know, some people didn't like it, right?
Yeah.
But some people loved it. And we were just inducted in the Olympics. And just to be clear or not, it's not going to be like a 3K or 5K. It's actually a 65-meter course, part of the modern pentathlon. So the equestrian part was moved and they added a 65 Olympic distance obstacle course racing. Now, how is it going to look? What are the obstacles going to be? We'll find out in the next.
We'll hopefully find out by the next few years. The next question, what I wanted, was regarding the Yellow Stadium event. We had one in Abu Dhabi, and a lot of the listeners are just waiting. When do we expect the next stadium event or stadium event? Do you have any information for us?
I mean, the next stadium event hopefully will be in Kuwait. As for Abu Dhabi, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, that was a great stadium.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really awesome, and it's big, and the Zayed Sports City is awesome. It's easy in to get out, but I think we're in talks with the Abu Dhabi Sports Council just to see how we can make that magic.
Am I right in saying that the first stadium event in our Middle East was in Bahrain?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it was. I'm trying to remember if it was
2018 and 19, somewhere between that time, I think.
Yeah. And we had a stadium event, but the truth is, it was not like a proper stadium.
Correct, yeah.
It was our first stadium, and I don't think it was a stadium per se. When you compare it, like, which our next stadium was in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, that was a proper tough one.
Yeah. Never miss a leg day for a stadium.
It was 5K of going up and down. Now, you know, Ryan, some of the SGX coaches, they absolutely love Hurricane Heat. Yes. Now, from an organizer's point of view, what are your thoughts about Hurricane Heat and what are the challenges that you face?
Hurricane Heat? Well, I mean, there's four Hurricane Heats, right? Three. So Hurricane Heat 4 hours, which is the one we have. Hurricane Heat 12 hours and Hurricane Heat 24 hours.
Yeah.
I think this year maybe we dumped the 24-hour one. I'm not sure, but nevertheless, there's a Hurricane Heat trifecta.
Okay.
And we've never brought the 12-hour, 24 hours just because it's a bit too extreme, and we might end up with maybe 6 or 5 people. Give or take, right? And I'm assuming, of course, for all the listeners, for all the 100 people out there, so yeah, we'll do it. I mean, if anybody really wants to go through 12 or 24 hour Hurricane Heat, please email me. I'm more than happy to set up one for you. Listen, Hurricane Heat, I leave it up to the crypteas, right?
Yeah.
Which lead the Hurricane Heat, and they do what they want on the route that they want.
Yeah.
Whether it's lifting logs or lifting street lights or tractor tires, it's all a team-based endurance event. What can you do to prepare for Hurricane Heat? I think it's just mentality, right? It's
often 100%, yeah.
Right, just being tough. You're there with your colleagues, your team. It's one team, so relying on each other, communication. What are we doing? Let's support each other and always expect surprises and just a little bit of misery, right?
Oh, absolutely. And what I'll do is, you know, in the show notes, but I'll also go ahead and mention the teams or, you know, crypto who go ahead and arrange, you know, the Hurricane Heat so they can definitely get in touch with them.
Yes.
Now, in line with, you know, Hurricane Heat, Spartan is also having audition for Death Race. So I'm not sure on Facebook if you've seen some of them are doing burpees and they're submerged in a little bit of water, they're holding some stones. Now, is there a possibility of Spartan Arabia to be a part of the Death Race someday?
I think the answer is no. The Death Race is obviously the Death Race, super ultra extreme. And it's mainly organized by Spartan HQ, right?
Okay.
Spartan Arabia doesn't have hands on the Death Race. And I'm almost glad just because it's just, you know, Death Race, right? But yeah, from our side, no auditions. I think, excuse me, there's a way to audition for it,
yeah,
but not my cup of tea. I'll tell you that.
And you know, Ryan, Spartan Arabia has been part of several world championship events. Now, if I'm not mistaken, in 2017, there was the MENA, that is Middle East and North African Championship in Hatta, or in Malia. Yeah. So how does preparation for world championship events differ from an organizer's point of view, let's say to a regular OCR event, apart from the brutal weight, which is extremely, extremely heavy, especially the hurricane, the Hercules heist.
Brutal. I think they're the same, give or take, right? Having the customer journey in mind is the same. I think any regular race is the same, whether it's a regional race or it's a regular race, right? With a world championship or with a Middle East championship, we appreciate we have more people, maybe more coverage, more eyes, etc. But I think if having the customer journey in mind in both at any race is really the same thing. The biggest difference maybe in the world championship is maybe definitely a tougher course, and you have the nation's parade, right, with every parading with their flags. But and obviously it's a bit bigger of a race, but ultimately having the customer journey in making sure that everybody is organized, having what they need or want, I think give or take it's similar.
That is absolutely excellent. And just, I think it was on Friday, Ryan, we saw a post on Instagram which said that the Hatta event is a qualifier for the World Championship event, which is taking in Abu Dhabi as well, right? So can you tell our listeners a bit about how do they qualify for these events?
I mean, you have to earn at least, I believe, 5 points to be a part of the World Championship. And we decided to add the Hatta just for people that are here in the region that want to go to the World Championships but can't fly anywhere, or people that are closer that want to fly in Bahrain, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Oman, etc., that want to come to here since we don't have an event from now until the championships anywhere outside of the UAE. So we decided to have this as a part, as a would-be qualifier to the World Championships, to give people that extra opportunity to come back and
be that is absolutely. That is absolutely great. Now, Ryan, I'm really liking the fact that, you know, you're stressing on customer journey, which is so important, you know, that you look at customers' experience during this tenure. What I want to find out is, what are the challenges that you face that we as participants are not aware about? Because what we do is we go in, we check in, do the race, we take the medals and go back home. But I'm pretty much sure there are loads of challenges. So is there a message you want to share across to our listeners so that we're at least aware of some of the challenges that an organizer is facing?
That's a good question. It takes us on average 2 weeks to 21 days to build any Spartan race. So at the minimum, any Spartan sprint takes us about 2 weeks, super 16 days, and at least 21 days.
And we are hoping that during that time, there is no rain or there's some floods or some sandstorm.
I mean, anything that nature wants to bring, will still have the race on, you know, snow, heat, hail, whatever it is. We're still having it unless there's a proper weather warning from the government saying, you know, no go, right? But it takes us, again, on average, about a couple of weeks to... We do everything in-house. We don't have any outside contractors. Everything's done by Spartan Arabia for a safety point of view. It's a lot of hard work. Yep. For the build team to get things done, we have about 12 containers. We're like a circus. We arrive, unpack, build everything. Race gets done, pack, put in the containers, and it goes to the next country. So it's really a lot of hard work because the devil's in the detail, right? Every screw on that obstacle, every flag, where you should go. The especially course marking, where to go. I appreciate a lot of people get lost, but truth is we're trying to cut down on plastic, right? And a lot of this course marking is just plastic, right? I think people should just have a better understanding of the map. Where am I going? A couple of days before it, we post, okay, this is where it is. We're trying to use more arrows, more earth-friendly spray paint for people to understand where they need to go versus like double course marking. Everything like the trail race we had in Ramadan, we had solar lights.
Yeah, right? I remember that one.
Across 10K, so people don't get lost. So people, I think, have to make the effort there. But it's honestly a lot of effort. God bless the team, a lot of effort on getting races built in the proper way. A lot of magic happens. People just arrive like, oh, wow, this is great. But there's a lot of sweat, blood, and tears in the background in building the race and making the right proper customer journey through to a satisfied race.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And one thing I can proudly say when you talk about obstacles, the quality is definitely world class in comparison, you know, to, let's say, other competing obstacle course races. So thank you once again so very much for that. Now, Ryan, Spartan has different brands under the Spartan umbrella. Yeah. And now recently, Spartan Arabia also has the Spartan Trail as well, isn't it? And you just mentioned about Spartan Trail events. So how is the reception for Spartan Trail events in terms of registrations for the Hatta events?
It's good. It needs a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And I think we started to look at places standalone where we can bring people to, just like the same thinking I spoke about around what could be unique, right? And Hatta is one, yes, right? I think in between the 21K and the 10K, we have about 600 racers or so. We'll have a pretty big event in Hatta. So Wadi Shawkat, for example, we want to throw people in the middle of nowhere. Umm Al Gawain, like Oman, Al Hamra and Oman, which is a UNESCO heritage site. So we want to pick places that people would want to run in and say, oh, wow, this is absolutely great, absolutely fantastic. So it needs a bit of time to grow because, as you know, everybody's doing 5K, 10K runs. I mean, I live in City Walk. There's a 5K in City Walk here. Yeah. The Amar on the boulevard. So just the Sheikh Zayed or the big marathon happening on Sheikh Zayed is happening on the same way. We're doing our race on the 26th.
Okay. Right?
So it needs to be somewhere where our racers will say, because obviously our racers go out for a run every night, let's just say, right?
Yeah.
And do trail races just because the weather is nice and they want to use these 3-4 very short months we have. But we want to take people places where it's unique as an experience. Because they could go out and run it for free. Yeah. Why would they want to come and pay us $70, $80 for just a medal and a t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of magic in the background to it, but we want to put people through that experience, and I think we're working towards that experience. And I'll always try to put a trail and a hurricane heat together because anywhere we go, it'd be a different location. So I think people would want to do a hurricane heat there as well.
And I'm pretty much a lot of them want to do both the events as well. They want to do the trail followed by the hurricane as well. Now, you know, when you talk about experience, I lived in Manchester, England, and one of my friends just messaged me 2 days ago that they're doing the first ever night Spartan race event. And I was like, what? You've already done this in Dubai. So what is the difference, let's say, when you're arranging a night event? Now, you did mention about the race markings, but other than that, are there any challenges that you face? Keeping in mind whether I would hope that doing a night event is relatively a bit easier for the athletes because the weather is relatively calmer. But other than that, are there any challenges that you face in doing night events?
Yeah, definitely more challenging, definitely more costly. Safety perspective, right? Yeah. I appreciate that, you know, we have lights to build up and in the festival area, a lot more mosquitoes, let me tell you that.
Correct, yeah.
Horrible. I think it's more of an experience for the racer running, like we had the NAS night race.
Absolutely, yeah, that is good, yeah.
And that was pretty cool experience.
It was brilliant, yeah.
We had it there, and we had the Jabal Ali trail at night.
Because trail ride, yeah.
Contained, right? Like having a Hatta night race would be a nightmare because, they're too far, they're around this, around that. Too many aspects going on, too many touch points. So we could have a Spartan night stadium. That would be just a bit different, same experience, but we'd have the floodlights,
correct? Yeah,
etc. So it's definitely more challenging from a build-up point of view, safety point of view. But obviously, it's a bit more exciting for races. So I look forward to having a bit more night races in the future as we get closer, as we get out of the good weather, right? Yes. So let's just say April, obviously for like Ramadan, yeah, or May. Great. We could get away with a May night race starting, yes, at 7 p.m. Yeah, it won't be 22. It might be 28 or even 30.
Correct.
But it won't be too bad. So we leave the good weather for the for the day races, and as we get closer to the not so good weather, we try to have, yeah, them at night.
And I always remember, you know, the night event which took place in Lima, where we did the 10K sprint, 10K, yeah, super, sorry, and there was absolutely no lights. We just had the headlights. You know,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
was absolutely,
yeah,
crazy and beautiful experience at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, what I tend to do is, Ryan, you know, I have two podcasts. One is Blockchain DXP and the Race Based Podcast. Now, in the Race Based Podcast, we interview athletes, that is international athletes, local athletes, even Spartan brand ambassadors. And we ask them, what is some of the feedback you'd like to give to race directors and organizers? And some of them, and this is not only to do with Spartan Race, it is, let's see, with other competing obstacle course race event. It is, you know, repetitive obstacles. Some of them also say, oh, promise under delivery. And some of them also say, you know, not getting the prize money on time. Now, some elite racers also feel that the judges are not strict, and some notorious athletes take a shorter route and get on the podium. So what message do you have for them, and how we as a community can also help it to become a better place?
Okay, these are all super valid points. I'll tackle the elephant in the room, which is the same obstacles, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate that we've had repetitive obstacles over the years, and I think how we've tried to manage that is by going to different places, right?
Yeah.
Us swapping in and out obstacles is not the easiest way. Could we have done it better? Yep, I'll take that shot over the brow kind of thing, and we're trying to get better at that. But what we tried to do was go to different places, and listen. We go home and give or take, eat the same food every day. And we go out every single weekend or every single day, whatever tickles your fancy, and have the same food, give or take. Like, I'm of Syrian origin, and I love hummus.
Oh.
And every single weekend, I go out and eat hummus. Right?
Yeah.
But if you open my fridge now, I have hummus inside. Right? But when I go out, I experience it differently. With friends, with colleagues, with a different location, with the nice weather, sitting outside, sitting inside, anniversary, birthday. It's the same thing with the same obstacles. We try to take them somewhere else so you can experience somewhere else. Like when we had our race in Riyadh, in Dirab, Motor Park, the same old obstacles, we had them on a cliff, whether it was the A-frame or the Bender. And when you climbed up, you could see this beautiful location. Yeah. Yeah, in the golf club in Abu Dhabi, you climb the A-frame and it's the same thing. I appreciate that. It makes it boring, right? So we try to alleviate it by going somewhere else. In some places, we can't dig or trench like Hatta to begin with. So like we can't have water to begin with just because the earth is solid, right?
You can't. Correct, yeah.
We're not building a building, right? We're doing opposite. So we swap it out for the experience, right? So that's how we kind of swap them in and out for the obstacles. As for prize money, I think we've never had an issue with prize money. We give everybody their cash on race day, right? I don't think what were your other points just so I can address them?
Some elite racers, they feel that the judges are not strict or the volunteers are not strict, and they let some of the elite, and this is mostly to do with elite athletes in each group, they let them go away. And because of that, some of them, you know, who really do it seriously and passionately, they get a bit upset that some notorious athletes are on the podium and they are not.
Listen, okay. So I must say in my decade plus in Spartan Race and other sports events, so people, you know, you're wired, your brain is wired for being safe, right? Your brain is not wired to take on challenges, right? And if you can cheat, you shall cheat if you want to cheat, right?
Correct, yeah.
And a lot of people do cheat. And in our no-fail obstacles, we have cameras. For the people that don't know, we have cameras. And that's why we have marshals and head marshals. And that's why age group podium sometimes takes a while because we review all the cameras, and we try to be as fair as possible. I'll also take the shot over the bra where sometimes we mess up, and we've messed up in the past, and some athlete we swapped for another athlete. Hey, it happens, and my apologies for all those athletes. The volunteers, and God bless them, they are heart and soul, and they come out and they stand there all day long. Some of them, whether paid or not, are eventually not obliged to stay there. And I'll tell you a funny story. Our trifecta, our last trifecta weekend in Oman 2019, Jebel Sifa.
Yeah.
Right. We had 6,000 racer weekend. First day we had our beast on Friday, and the next day, Saturday, we had our sprint, super, hurricane, heat, and kids race. And we had 150 volunteers on the first day and 150 volunteers the second day. So anyways, we had 55 passenger buses taken and bringing these volunteers. The first day, right, they were all there. Second day, and we haven't slept for like 3 days, so we love it. We show up at 4:30 a.m. waiting for the volunteer buses to get out. We talk to them, breakfast, etc. First bus shows up, opens the door. He looks at us, he's like, uh-oh. Second bus opens the door, uh-oh. Third bus, uh-oh. Fourth bus, by this time they're resuscitating me on the ground, right? Fourth bus, uh-oh. Fifth bus opens up, and we had 3 volunteers.
Oh,
just nightmare. And we have this sprint, super, hurricane, heat, and kids day. So with the government, etc., with the sports council, heritage, blah, 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 we got enough volunteers. But some volunteers, and we've had a lot of, especially in the UAE, well, actually everywhere now, because we've done so many races in the same places. We have core volunteers. They always come out. We know them, we love them, etc. They've been with us, they've gotten so many credit hours that they utilize for work. So I appreciate that some volunteers, in the middle of it, they just walk away and leave. There's not much we can do. And some of them are newbies. Some racers are maybe aggressive. No, I did this. No, you don't tell me what to do. And they just run off. So there's a lot of things on this matrix. You know, you stretch it this, you stretch it here. We really try to do our best on the volunteers and the cheaters and being strict or lenient. Whether we get it right or we get it wrong, we try our best, really.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And one thing which I just thought of, you know, when you mentioned about experience, one of the most iconic moments for me was doing the Spartan race in Arlene Zoo. And that was inside the zoo.
Yes.
And, you know, I sent pictures to my friends in US and UK, and they were like, where is it? I was like, inside the zoo. They're like, no, where you mean? I was like, no, it was actually inside the zoo. And so it was really hard for them to believe it. So, you know, thank you so very much for these memorable experiences. And, you know, one other question which I wanted to ask, Ryan, is some of the local athletes who have competed overseas, they have often said that, you know, the obstacles in UAE are relatively easier compared to, let's say, the European part of the world. Is that because there are more number of events taking place over there, or what is the general feedback for that?
Listen, we all have, like, for the sprint or super or beast, there has to be a standard.
Standardized, yeah.
Right. So I think for the sprint, just off the top, I think maybe 14 or 12, something along those lines has to be. The rest are optional or whatever. Yeah, okay. The super kind of grows and not, right? And they're just different obstacles in different places depending on what that specific, licensee or owner wants to do. Some of our obstacles could be easier, but I'll tell you one thing. Nowhere is it as tough as running in the sand, right?
100% agree.
If there was any obstacle there, right? So we try to, I mean, if we have, again, going back to Maliha, the most beautiful race, one of my favorite places, but maybe the least attended, not because people don't love it, just because it's bloody tough.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you manage that? Well, you put easier obstacles because we know the run is,
correct. Yeah.
Is tough. So I appreciate, again, it's the matrix. You pull, you push, and you get to what you end up with.
That is absolutely spot on. And regarding Bali, I remember the barbed wire crawl. That was absolutely insanely tough. I always think about the barbed wire crawl. So, you know, definitely spot on that. Now, Ryan, what I want to ask you, and this is more of a personal question to you, of all the events that you have done, of all the fabulous events taking place in the Middle East, is there a particular event that stands out to you personally where you feel I've completely accomplished it and this is my all-time best one?
The first race holds a special place in my heart. and it was like in true Spartan grit or in true human endeavor grit on wanting to do something and doing it, right? On any given day, we have 20 people putting on a Spartan race, right? When we first started, it was myself, my original two partners, God bless them, Omid Hamid and Badr Khalaf. Omid's wife, my ex-wife, and Badr's girlfriend, and that's who built the race, right? For everybody out there that came to the February 20th, 2015 race, it was these six people. And we did have help, a couple of people from Spartan HQ, but nowhere close to what we have and how organized that. Plus, it was in Jabal Ali, so like the sand part, we had to begin with that big water pit, right? And it was His Highness came out, and we had that epic sandstorm. So it all kind of came together, and it was Spartan that, plus a sandstorm, and we went through it, and we're Spartans. So I think that holds a special place in my heart. Thereafter, I don't say it's kind of a blur, but because every give or take every couple of months we have a Spartan somewhere. So, but the first, I remember the first one quite.
That's absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, that event took place on a Friday because back then we used to have Friday, Saturday off.
Yes,
right?
You're absolutely right.
That's great. Now, we talked about your favorite race. What I want to find out is there a particular race moment or moment during this tenure of yours that you're really proud of and stands out to you? It doesn't have to do with the event as such. Maybe something before the event, after the event.
You know what? I would like to say that every day is, because every day is special and every day brings progress, right? We try to grow every day. The past is the past. You keep one step at a time. You keep moving forward. So I think, if anything, I'm proud of our progression moving forward. There's a lot of moments I'm proud, but I think one foot in front of each other is what I think what I'm most proud of for myself and the team, just keeping moving forward, still being able to put awesome world-class events, again, whether Spartan or Higher Rocks, until today with the same awesome team.
That is great. And that is exactly what our next question was heading towards. That is hybrid fitness. It's definitely gaining a lot of momentum. And once again, looks like we have to thank you for bringing Higher Rocks, one of the biggest hybrid events in the Middle East as well. So I'm pretty much sure this sport is definitely going to grow as well. So again, you played a crucial part in bringing Higher Rocks to the Middle East. Now, can you tell our listeners, how did Higher Rocks Middle East come into play? What was the brainstorming session done? And how did you have a massive event? Because I believe there was more than 4,000 people who turned off for the event. Yeah.
Higher Rocks. Somebody must have mentioned it, right? I didn't fall upon it. I didn't fall across Higher Rocks. Somebody from the team mentioned that. The name slips me now. And I looked at it. I was like, you know what? This is what's next. And this is what's going to grow. And this is where it's going. Now, Joe DeSena came and had dinner at my place with my wife last weekend.
Okay.
And we kind of discussed what is the future. And obviously the future of Spartan Race has been the Olympics for a while.
Thank you.
And nothing stays as it is. And this is the beauty of life. Everything must go to make space for new things, birth and death, right? That ever-going cycle. And where do we go from obstacle course racing? And before COVID, we're just like a rocket, right? And COVID put a halt to things, but also gave us a breath of new life. And these obstacle course racers, before that, maybe were marathoners or CrossFitters, right?
Yeah.
But when obstacle course racing became a mass participation event globally, they had to become hybrid athletes. They couldn't do a monkey bar, then an 8-foot wall, then a Hercules hoist, and then a crawl, and then a multi-rig with various different attachments, call it a baseball, call it a beer jug, call it whatever we decide, whatever the mood of the race director is, fortunately or unfortunately for the races. They couldn't become that without being multidisciplinary. So when HYROX came along, people were, in a sense, kind of ready for it, and they just had to add some things to become world-class athletes. So look at, like, Hunter McIntyre, right?
The
mutant himself. Yeah. And I think has he stood on a Spartan podium? I'm not sure, but I'm almost pretty sure he's done on Tough Mudder, and he's pretty badass. He took that, and he still holds the world record for HYROX today at an astonishing 54 minutes, right?
Correct, yeah.
The next best racer, Ryan Kent, is at 56 minutes, which is a staggering 2 minutes, right? And the world record for the marathon just was beat by
a few seconds.
So imagine 2 minutes. So HYROX was slated for last September, and I decided to pull the plug on it because I had this rumbling in my heart that we're still not ready for it, right? And I thought we would need another year for it. So we pulled the plug. We got a lot of criticism on, but I was like, I know where we're going, right? And for this HYROX, we went to the World Trade Center because we needed a big place, easy parking, et cetera, et cetera. We needed 10,000 square meters, and God bless Dubai Sports Council and the World Trade Center helped us with that, and DET. And it took us So Spartan takes anywhere from 14 to 21 days. HYROX takes us a single day.
Yeah.
Right. And God bless World Trade Center. They gave us an extra day the night before, so we were able to put all our fences out.
Yeah.
And we break it down in a single day. And we have PFTs, physical fitness tests. So we visit literally, give or take, every single gym we can get our hands on. And we go out and say, hey, PFT, HYROX is here. Come out. We do these PFTs, it's 5 workouts in your gym. We give you a free t-shirt and a patch, bronze, silver, or gold, depending on how long it took you to do this PFT. And we engage you. So we have you in our funnel. You come in out, you did good, you did bad. Bring out your friends. You can do pro, you can do singles, you can do double, and you could do a relay. And of course, you could also do people of determination heats. We invited a lot of global athletes from around the world, so we can give extra hype. Yep. And I think we kicked some ass when our race happened on the second. I think we were surprised.
Yeah, by the turnout.
As well, we had 4,000 plus people coming out, and if you were there, the vibe was, were you there?
It was absolutely smashing. I was there for the HYROX event. It was absolutely smashing. For me, I find HYROX a bit tough because only 5'2" and I'm 64 kgs. Okay. So the pull and push is a bit of a tough event for me. And in that line, you know, Ryan, what I wanted to ask is, you know, you did invite quite a lot of international athletes as well. Yes. Now, from your experience, and you clearly are the OG of obstacle course race in the Middle East, what would it take to have a dominant champion, let's say in hybrid fitness or obstacle course race from the Middle East, maybe a local or an Emirati? What would it take to have a dominant champion, let's say, like Hunter McIntyre, you said, or Ryan Atkins?
Listen, I believe there will be, right? It's just up to the athlete to put the effort and work into. If you go 10 years ago or 10 steps back or 5 years ago, the community was not around. Well, not 5 years ago, 5 years. But now the community is here. We have obstacle course racing gyms. We have gyms that are called Spartan gyms, in Kuwait, in Bahrain. We have Spartan cafes, right? Whatever. You can't run away from Spartan, or CrossFit's been around forever. So I think it's up to the athlete and also the support of the government. If they're a local Emirati, or Egyptian or Saudi Arabian or whatever the case is, it's also up to the sports council to support that person in getting out to become a world champion, whether in the World Games, the Asian Games, whatever the case is. But ultimately, it starts with you. You know, you don't need to be great to start. You need to start to be great, right?
That is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
So it's up to that individual person. They have everything they need. I mean, in Dubai, I mean, world class everything, right? There is no
the facilities over here, especially now. I think there are quite a lot of gyms like OCR Empire. You also have the Grind in Kuwait, you know, which is catering and has, if not one of the best facilities, even Desert Shield Fitness for that matter. Yeah. Now, Ryan, you've talked mostly about, you know, obstacle course racing, fitness. Now, I'm from the world of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Now, what are your thoughts about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? Do you like them or do you think they're absolute scam? What are your honest thoughts about it?
Because I don't understand them too well, I don't dabble in them. If you and I maybe at some point after this sit down and you're like, hey, listen, this is what you have to do because this is the future. And I find it like, I don't say it's like, maybe the way I look at things, if I don't understand them, find them to be a bit on the gambling side. I'm super against gambling. Horrible habit to have. So I really, because I don't understand it and I see the volatility of it, and I have plenty of friends. I think I'm the only one of my friends that doesn't own Bitcoin, and I've seen them in tears and shambles when things drop. And hey, what's wrong with you? Oh, Bitcoin this. But I was like, well, don't buy it. You know, it's not your mom, right?
Correct,
it's like the hardcore footballers when they're team loses. Hey, bro, how's it going? Hey, man, don't talk to me. I don't want to go. Well, what's wrong? You okay? United had a loss. Okay, I mean, what does that have to do? You and I going out for coffee? I mean, just it's not your team, right? It's something similar to that.
I 100% agree, and what you're saying is absolutely valid. And one of the things, you know, which I tell my clients is, whenever you talk about the price of Bitcoin, all price predictions are 100% right. 50% of the time. So, you know, ignore the price. And one reason why I wanted to ask you that is because Spartan Race, they have an unbreakable NFT pass.
Yes.
So in the near future, let's say once you understand what the technology is there a possibility to have an NFT where, let's say, you merge the hybrid side of things and maybe even obstacle course race, maybe in the next few years or in the future?
You know, depending on where things go,
yeah,
the possibilities will reveal themselves, or the opportunities will reveal themselves. Until then, the unbreakable pass is what we have.
Absolutely great. Thank you so very much for that. Now, what I wanted to ask is next is there a message, Ryan, that you have for fellow competitors in the space or race directors such as Tough Mudder, Desert Warrior Challenge, and now even X-Query is coming up. So do you have any message for them?
Well, first, I wish them all the best of luck. I know the environment quite well, and I know the challenges. So I have a lot of respect for everybody out there, giving people the experience that they need to provide and give. And all together as one, as obstacle course racing, or even as a sport, I think it's great for everyone else out there. So I wish them all really the best of luck. I know how hard it can get at times and how challenging I get. So I take my cap off to all of them, really.
That's great. And regarding hybrid fitness, Ryan, are there any plans for having, let's say, another championship event in the near future or any future events, maybe in 2024?
From a Spartan race, we don't have a, because the world championship happens here, right? That's the pinnacle, right? We would love to have a regional championship. I feel like it maybe has to happen in March or in February for us to give enough time for, like, when is the best time to have a regional championship? Really is November, right? Like Hatta is only 15 days away from the world championship. And so what do you cannibalize on what? And this past weekend was Sparta in Greece.
Correct, yeah.
Right? So that cap, end of the year calendar is pretty packed. So you don't want to cannibalize on this, and this cannibalizes on that. So if we were to have a championship, I don't know if it'll be next year in 2024, either for Hyrox or for Spartan, but maybe the year after that.
That's absolutely excellent. Now, I just have a few fun questions, but before that, is there any final message you'd like to tell our listeners regarding Hatha event or the World Championship event coming up in Abu Dhabi or even CorfaCon, which is coming up next year?
Sure. So many races coming up. And then, and then we have Kuwait, and then fingers crossed, we have Musandam. And then we
be absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, we have another High Rocks, hopefully, fingers crossed, also in February. So March, we have another trail in Hurricane Heat and a kids-only race in Jabal Ali.
Oh, that's great.
In Ramadan at night, and the list goes on. And I invite everybody to come out to all of races. Hatta is really going to be magical with its own a set of unique experiences and challenges, right? Especially, 5K is going to be a lot of fun. The 21K is going to be around the mountain and in the lake. Obviously, Hurricane Heat is also going to be a one-off. The trail is also going to be unique because you're running on your own. So Hatta is going to be really fantastic, and you're going to qualify for the World Championships if you decide to, and also prepare you for the World Championship. Khorfakan, people did Khorfakan. It was also a beautiful race because they got to go up the mountain and see Khorfakan. Yeah. I think Khorfakan in Arabic means in between two jaws or something like that, right? So, and that's why it looks like a U, right?
Yeah.
And people, when they climbed this mountain, they saw how beautiful Khorfakan is. And now we've changed it a bit. It goes through the villages so they can see the villages, farms. Etc. So I invite everybody to come out to the experience of getting themselves, whether off the chair or off the couch, and really just pushing themselves. And this just doesn't have to be Spartan on High Rocks. Again, like we said, you don't have to be great to start. You just have to start to be great. And that's starting to walk outside in the good weather because you're starting to feel better, and it just kind of takes off.
That is absolutely great. And regarding CorfaCon, I know the spear throw that had a beautiful backdrop of a waterfall as well. So that was really iconic. Yes. Now, Ryan, in your experience, you know, doing these events, how does it feel when you see second generation athletes who probably weren't even born when you did the first event? Because I know of a couple of athletes, you know, who are small kids now. They did the first event and now their kids are doing that. So from your point of view, how does it see to the second generation of athletes participating with the parents?
I'll never forget the feeling. Everybody knows Simon Pepper. He's raced every single race like everywhere around the world, probably. And he has a beautiful daughter called Charlotte.
Yeah.
And also a kid called Ollie. And I remember Charlotte running our kids' races as a young kid. And many years later, she stood on the podium at the World Championships.
Absolutely correct, yeah.
Right, so I saw that, and that's just Charlotte, and I've seen that not with just kids. I've seen it with the regular. I remember Sergei coming to our Jabal Ali race course, and I sent him a picture the other day of him looking like a kid and growing underneath it, and the world champ.
World champion, yeah.
Right? So I've seen it across. I've seen like Mo Jafar of the grind, being super obese, saw, everybody knows the story, saw the Spartan race on Bobian Bank's 80 MTeller, which was our financial sponsor then, and saying, what's this? And he came out and he's a beast on his own, opened his own obstacle course racing gym. He has a bit of High Rocks in it now. So I've seen all these journeys. A lot of people tell me, well, I first started this as a business, thinking as a typical businessman, this is, hey, we make money, this is our opinion. But the truth is what I won at the end. And I'd like to say I'm the most person in the world that has friends because I meet all these thousands of people from all around the world. And everywhere I go, I have all these awesome people that I get to meet and say hello to. So I've seen these journeys and I have a lot of people that thank me and hug me and I think this is what it is. I think some people forget that you must give in order to receive. You must not expect to get back in order for the universe to give back, right?
You know, to be honest, Ryan, you know, I'm learning quite a lot of things from what you're saying, and I'm pretty much, I'm going to be incorporating that into my regular day-to-day life as well. Now, I have some fun questions, and the first one is, what is a favorite quote that you have?
Wow. I mean, as I know your library behind you is real or not real?
No, it's just a virtual background.
Okay, well, my library.
Yeah, yours is the real one, right? Yeah.
So I try to read at least a couple of books a month, right? In COVID, I was reading a couple of books a week, right? And that's what I did in COVID. I sat and I read throughout the 18 months. I sat at home and learned chess, and I attempted to learn Chinese, which I wasn't good at, right? Sorry, ask a question again. I forgot.
Well, any favorite quote that you have or you want our listeners to know?
That's why I went blank, because I couldn't. Listen, everybody's on their own journey. Yeah. Right, I have all these wonderful books to tell you what to do, from eating the best, being the richest, being the most beautiful, et cetera. And the truth is, every book you grab is everybody's unique journey, right? Said best by Warren Buffett, you don't need to get run over by a car to look left and right when you're crossing the street, right? You just have to pick a book about investing or about...
Yep.
Social media. When we first started, we have a social media of six people, right? Or on our heyday, we had about six people on our social media, and I didn't really understand it like they did. So what I decided to do is I looked up the top 10 books about social media and digital marketing, and I read the top five, and I took a class online, and I knew what everyone knows.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same thing. Obstacle course racing or finance. Pick the top 10 books, five books, read them. And you're pretty close to becoming know every. Now you have to implement it, but you already have this genuine knowledge. So any quote is everybody's journey. But maybe the best of them is two of them. And I said one of them is, you don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. And the second one is also said by His Highness Sheikh Mohammed. In Arabic, it's al-qana'atun kanzun la yufna, which is contentness is the mother of all treasures.
That is beautiful, yeah.
Right? So if you're content anywhere you go, you're just there, right? In that moment, you don't have to be anywhere else to be happy.
That is a beautiful, beautiful quote. The second one is your favorite genre of music and why?
Ah, that's easy one. It's reggae.
Oh,
right. Listen, I suck at playing music because I attempted to at a young age. I tried to do the drums and I tried to do the piano. Then I was like, you know what? I'm tone deaf, right? So I took my revenge out by listening to all genres across everything, literally, right? And it has to be reggae. My mom was has a great music ear, right? And at a very young age, we were introduced to Pink Floyd and Bob Marley and Umm Kulthum, of course, and all the great Arabic singers and Korean and Indian and just across and Turkish. And I fell in love with Bob Marley. Obviously, Bob Marley has a finite number of songs, and I think repeat them in reverse now. But I fell in love with the reggae genre, and I listen to it, I would say, more on any given day, it's got to be reggae, and then whatever the playlist after that comes, great. Also love rock, so, right. But if today was the last day on earth, and I had to listen to one last song before
Bob we all Marley.
Said goodbye, it'll probably be Rat Race by Bob Marley. Right?
Bob Marley, that is absolutely fascinating, a really nice one. And finally, Ryan, besides fitness and arranging events, are there any hidden talents that many people are not aware about?
There's so many books I read.
reading is absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
And my favorite gift is a book. So if I really love you, I'm going to give you a book. Like on Eid, on last Eid, I gave everybody books, two books each. One of them was, I gave everybody Peter Thiel's book.
Peter Thiel's book, yeah, it's a brilliant book.
Zero to One. And a lot of people don't read. So when they see these big fat books, they're like, oh no, but Peter Thiel's Zero to One is a small 120-page, 138-page book. So I think it's a great book for startup. And then I gave everybody another book, which I thought they would like to read or may want to read, or maybe just gearing them towards what they do at 2147, which is the company that manages Spartan Race on the High Rocks.
Oh,
and I'm a huge fan of haunted houses.
Oh.
And we're trying to bring a haunted house concept as well. We attempted it this October But we just didn't have enough time, so we pushed it.
Yeah, in Manchester, England, you know, they have this haunted walk where you go for a walk underneath the tunnel and, you know.
Yes.
Apparently, it is really, really spooky and kind of crazy as well, you know. Yes. So, you know, brilliant. Thank you so much, Ryan. Really, really appreciate it. Now, what I did, Ryan, you know, I asked ChatGPT, which is, I have the paid version as well, and I asked, what is it that you can tell me about Ryan? So let me just read out what is it ChatGPT says.
Yeah.
And I'd be really curious to see what your answer is. So this is what ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, is saying about you. Now, Ryan is a resilient and passionate entrepreneur with a strong focus on people, value, and personal growth. He thrives in challenging situations, prioritizes teamwork, and teamwork means everything for him. And his goal is to support other people's dream to come true. And he's very calm when faced with adversity. Here's the interesting bit, Ryan. Ryan also has a sweet tooth for chocolate chip cookies. And if he was a king, he would be the king of chocolate chip cookies. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, hey, I put that on my LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Undisputed chocolate chip cookie king. Because, I am. That's one, too. I went through like 300, like in COVID. I think my wife was just this far away from divorcing me if she had to have one more chocolate chip cookie. So I have the legendary chocolate chip cookie, if anybody wants it, recipe.
That is absolutely great. So it looks like, you know, artificial intelligence is kind of spot on about you as well. So.
I mean, thank you, artificial intelligence, for like kind of pumping my ego, right? Where's the dark ChatGPT to say all the other stuff?
You know, everything seems to be absolutely great. And once again, you know, Ryan, thank you so much, because what you have done is, you know, you have put this obstacle course race in our daily lives, and I'm pretty much sure there are going to be stories to be told for the next generation as well. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for doing this episode as well. Really appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you for your time. Thank you for doing all the homework. I know I know the good that goes behind it. And I hope to see you at the races. And I hope to see everybody at the races. And I always tell people I at the race or whatnot. And that's why I stand and say hello and goodbye for people to give me absolute feedback. And everywhere I go, I think everybody knows by now, I carry a pen everywhere I go and a small notebook. And I've done this for the past 15 years of my life. And anybody, for my thoughts, obviously, but anybody that gives me any feedback, I'll always write it in that notebook. So trust that I'll take notes down.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. What I'll do is, you know, in the show notes below, I'll go ahead and mention all the details. I'll give the summary as well. And I'll try to mention some of the books that you mentioned as well, because I'm sure, you know, listeners will definitely benefit by it as well.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you. Lovely day.